want to open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter number 11, verse 46. Mark 11, verse 46 to 52. I need to release upon you a new dimension tonight, if the Lord wills, and if you will. It's amazing that when the man came to Jesus, he said, Lord, if you are willing. Jesus says, no, if you are willing. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can help me, you can strengthen me, you can encourage me, you can heal me. Jesus says, no, if you believe. The kingdom is always willing. The person is not always willing. So Mark 11 verses 46, I want to speak to you about covert dimensions, because you get dimensions of the glory, you get levels of the faith, but I don't want to go into that too much tonight. I believe that God wants to release a new dimension upon you as you break free and break out. Because it's two things. Let me actually say there's three levels. Break in, break free, break out. Three levels. But in Mark 11, 46, yes, you guys are pulling on my gifts already. Now they came to Jericho. You hungry people. As he went out of Jericho. You know, this morning I was at a church in Witbank, and they drew only late in the meeting. But you guys are not like that. You know, you want to take everything. So, I like you. Oh, I like ECC. This is a good church. A good church, one of the best. Now, they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then the many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49. Oh, I love this. Verse 49. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Oh, sorry, by the way, it's New King James. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? We're going to get back to that. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher, that I may receive sight. Then Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. I want you to note two things here. And I hope you take it tonight, because we're going to look at one or two other scriptures as well. Jesus comes walking by blind man Bartimaeus. Is the sound okay in the house? Okay. He comes walking by the blind man Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus hears the sound of Jesus passing by. I wonder how he knew it was Jesus. I wonder if it was not that creation can recognize the Creator. Anyway, that's for another sermon. And so Jesus walks by. And he starts to scream. He starts to yell at the top of his voice. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd says to him, be quiet, be silent, be still. And he cries out all the more. He cries out, in other words, he cries out louder, more persistently. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus hears the cry. He stops. He tells the crowd, go call him. The crowd goes to the blind man. He says to him, be of good cheer. He's calling you. When I read that, the Lord said this to me. He said, those that oppose you and stop you from your miracle are the very ones I will turn around. And they will lead you to your miracle. They will lead you to your sign. They will lead you to your wonder. Because when God calls your name, which He does, even your enemies needs to bow down to his voice, and even your enemies needs to lead you back to the master. If you ever wanted to know how much Jesus is in control, it says every mouth and every mouth will confess, every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Satan will do it, the demons will do it, or man will do it, everything will do it. Ooh. So Jesus can take your enemies and he can turn it around. And they become the very tools that brings your miracle to you. Oh, that's good. Blind Bartimaeus gets to Jesus. You just need to note something here. Blind Bartimaeus, he covers himself with the blanket. A blanket in New Testament times was something that protected him against the elements, protected him against the dogs, protected him. Because when you were blind in New Testament times, you were an outcast. You were an outcast. That's what I love about Jesus. He loves the priest and the prostitute alike. There's no hierarchy with him. And so the blind man comes to him. And Jesus says this to him. I love this because you need to understand what he's asking. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? In the original language, Jesus is giving him a blank check. He says, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Let me say it like this. When you come in the presence of the King, don't ask for small things. Because you will insult him with small things. When you are in the presence of the King, ask for big things. Because the same God that holds the seven seas in his hands, that has the mountains and the valleys in his hands, the same God that named the trillions and the billions of the stars, knows you by name. That's my God and that's your God. When you are in his presence, don't ask for small things. Ask him for houses that you didn't pay for vineyards you didn't plant, for cars you didn't rent. Ask him for businesses you didn't plan, for millions you didn't want, for healing that you didn't request. Ask him for big things. Are you ready for big things? Come on, are you ready for big things? Okay, we'll see about that. What do you want me to do for you? True story. There was a golfer named Palmer. I forgot the dude's name. I don't watch golf. Okay, whatever. That guy's name. Palmer's his surname. I know that. He played golf in Abu Dhabi. And the king liked his golf so much that the king said to him, listen, can I honor you? Can I give you something? And Palmer is a millionaire by his own right, and he didn't want something. And so the spokesperson of the game came to him and said, listen, you better ask something because you're insulting him. And so Palmer said this, he made a joke of it. He said, well, just give me a golf course. That'll do it. The next day, true story, go do your research. A knock came at his door. And in front of him stand the messenger of the king. And he gave him the title deed of 3 golf courses, 6 hotels. The point of the story, when you are in the presence of the king, don't ask small stuff. He can do anything. Let me mess with your minds just a little bit. The Bible says that, astrology tells us that we live in the Milky Way. Okay? Earth is in something called the Milky Way. In the Milky Way alone, there's 100 billion stars. 100 billion. That's right. You heard it right. 100 billion. And the Bible says not one star is alike. If you study the book of Revelation, not one is alike. All of them are different. And the Bible says he called, he named each of them by name. Now, if that doesn't freak you out, let me freak you out a little bit more. The Bible says that according to the Bible is, by the way, the most accurate book there is. You have to listen in a generation hungry for the power and the miracles and the miraculous. We have to know the word of the Lord. Let me give you something for Facebook. Biblical illiteracy opens you up for false doctrine, false miracles, false signs, and false wonders. But if you know the word of God, it can't happen. Like here at ECC, you get trained in the word of God. You can't be fooled because you know the real deal. By the way, just a fact, when bankers study notes, they never study the fake stuff. They only study the real notes because it's easier to spot the fake that way. Just that's free. But the Bible says that, and this is true, that it's a fact, that they say in the universe, as what we know, as far as our science can go, there's about 100 trillion galaxies. 100 billion, 100 trillion galaxies. And that's not even the stars of them. No, the Bible says God knows every one of them by name. He knows the composition of every one of them. Not one of them are alike. And let me tell you something about you that you might not know. Not just that you are unique, which you all know, you are unique. There's just one of you. Praise God for that. Just one. But there's something about you that you don't know about yourself. The sound of your vocal cords, the tremor of your voice is completely unique, like a fingerprint. In other words, when you pray, God knows exactly who's praying. How do you like that for God? So it's not what you pray, it's just pray. Just pray. He hears, the Master hears you all the time. But I have to speak just about this dimension just a little bit. So let me come into John chapter number 11, verse number 43 and 44. Just throw that up for me just quickly. Where Jesus gets confronted with the stone. I just need to put all of this together for you. He gets confronted with the stone that's in front of Lazarus' tomb. And he says, get the stone out of the way. But earlier on in the book of John, I preached about it this morning. Earlier on in the book of John, when they gave him the negative report, when they said to him, listen, Lazarus is sick. Jesus just says this. He says, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Then a little bit later on in the book of John 11, we read Lazarus gets really sick. The boy's about to die. And now we hear the guy's dead. It seems that Jesus is contradicting himself. But he arrives on the scene. He says, roll the stone away. The word stone there in Hebrew means tablet. Roll the law of Moses away. Get it out of the way. And I've said this before, but I just want to help you to remember this. That it wasn't that Jesus didn't show up. He was there before he came there. Because before he showed up physically, he sent his word. The sickness will not be unto death, but for the glory of God. Before Lazarus ever came into the tomb, the word was already waiting inside for him. And when Jesus stood in front of that tomb, he already had a witness on the inside. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy that everything is established by two or three witnesses. Jesus knew there was unbelief around him, so he needed to send himself in front of himself, that when he would arrive, he would have a witness inside. The book of Genesis says this, that the earth was formless and chaotic and void, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the deep. Is somebody getting this? What was the Spirit waiting for? For someone to say, someone to speak. When the Spirit of God was hovering over Lazarus' body, what was the Spirit waiting for? He was waiting for someone to say, Lazarus, come forth. Is there someone here that wants to raise the Lazaruses in their lives? Come on. You have to take this. You have to take it. Let me throw something out more for you. When Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is the light. When the light called into the darkness, something happens when you call into the cave. We call it an echo. I like this. Because when the Lord spoke this to me, I was really in a dark place. But when the voice of light penetrates the darkness and it starts to hit the walls, echoes. The Lord said this to me. Does the scripture not say a cloud of witnesses are cheering you on? Jesus created for himself a crowd as his voice hit the walls. Lazarus, 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 come forth, come forth, come forth, come forth, come out, come out, come out, come out. And who of you know that death and hell and Hades is not in the hands of Satan? Jesus says it himself in the book of Revelations. I have the keys of hell, death, and the grave. I love the scripture. Because the Bible says here, it gives us two pictures. First, you get blind Bartimaeus that finds the master. How? The enemy leads the way. That's literally what happens. Now you find Lazarus coming out, bound hand and foot, and his eyes are covered, the Bible says. How in the world did he find Jesus? It's simple. He followed the sound of light as it echoed out of that tunnel right to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is not just the one that will resurrect you. Jesus is the one that will call you back home. He's not just the author, he's the finisher. He's not just the beginning, he is the end. He is the Alpha and he's the Omega. Oh, give Jesus some praise. Oh, I love the word of the Lord. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? The blind man needed to cast off his blanket to go to a higher dimension. He received his sight. It's interesting that when Lazarus came out, that it was only Jesus in his right mind. Because it was only the Lord that said, please unwrap the man and let him go. It's interesting that when Jesus rose from the dead, that there was one thing that he folded up. What was it? It was the napkin on his eyes. Why? The master wants you to know there's nothing that happens in heaven and on the earth or under the earth that he doesn't see. He sees everything. He takes note of everything. And he is ready at any time as soon as he gets a witness. Let me throw one out for you. Joshua was so convinced that he wanted to see his enemy destroyed that he prayed a ridiculous prayer. The Bible says in the book of Joshua that Joshua commanded. He said, Lord, let the sun stand still. Let the moon stand still. And I don't know if you know that, but that's a wrong prayer. Because the sun cannot stand still, it is standing still. The earth should stop rotating. That's actually what he was asking. But God answered a wrong prayer with a right answer. Why? He knows what you need, by the way, even before you ask him. He says that to you. So tonight, when we ask him for things, when we break off the old and step into the new, when we go to a higher realm, when we go to a deeper level, we do it as children and not as slaves, as sons and daughters of God. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. Oh. Let me end with this. Jesus sits at a private eating function at a dinner. A lady comes up behind him. She breaks her alabaster full of oil upon Jesus. It runs down his head onto his feet. The lady takes her hair and she starts to wash the Lord's feet with her tears. And Simon, just like religious demons are, says if he knew what type of women are touching him, he would not allow this. And Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus heard. And I want you to note something what Jesus does. Jesus says this, Simon, I tell you the truth. And he tells a story about the 50 denarii and the 500 denarii. The point is, they that are forgiven much, love much. But I want you to catch something else. He says this, he says, Simon, you didn't give oil for my head when I walked into your house. Didn't give a cloth for my feet to wash it off. But this lady, even though her sins are many, I tell you the truth, her sins has been forgiven. In other words, listen to this. You have to catch this. In this image in scripture, there's no dialogue or discourse between the lady and Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. Only a broken worshiper at the feet of Jesus. And in New Testament times, by the way, it was a tradition and a custom that when a rabbi came into a house, you needed to put oil on his head and you needed to wash his feet. It was a custom. So Jesus is saying to Simon, Simon, you're so blinded by what other people do that you forgot yourself. I want you to note something about the master here. Because I've been there and I'm sure many of you have been. This lady, she just cries at his feet, but she breaks all that she has on Jesus. Why? She heard that there was a man that doesn't clean from the outside in. Because she tried that. Because why will you hold a year full of perfume if you don't want to try to wash off the guilt and the shame and the blame? Nobody gets born to be a prostitute, by the way. But she comes to Jesus. Oh, and she says to Jesus, I heard. This is not in your Bibles. This is in my Bible. I heard that you have an oil too. I heard that your oil washes from the inside out. And I'm here to break my oil in exchange for your oil. And isn't it in my... Oh, come on, give Jesus some praise. Oh, oh, yes! Come on, ECC, you can do better than that. No words needed. No words. Why? Jesus can translate tears. The book of Psalms says every tear that you'll ever cry on this earth as a believer is caught up in God's jar. And if you study that, you'll find that he takes your tears and he writes the rest of your story. You have to know tonight, church, that Satan can read your story, but he cannot write it. He is not the author. There's only one author. Only one. Satan has no right. He's a loser. He doesn't have any right. I tell you the truth. Yes, Lord. I want to quickly just share something with you. I haven't even shared this with my own church yet. A couple of weeks ago, I was in an extreme dark place and I was crying out to God. I was lonely. I said, Lord, this is too much. Because when you lead people, people get too much. The Bible calls people sheep. What does sheep do? Meh, the whole time. But I walked out in my garden because I pray in my garden. Because I can't fall asleep in my garden. It's not because the garden is more religious, please. I just can't fall asleep there. So I was sitting and I went down like this, as I always do every morning. And I said, God, if you don't come through for me, I am done. And I opened my eyes and in front of me stood an angel of the Lord. And he grabbed into my spirit like that. There was something that happened to me in 1996. An abuse that took place in my life that nobody knew about. I kept it a secret. That angel came, he ripped into my spirit. He ripped it out. He held it into his hand like that. He showed it to me. He said, you don't decide when we're done. I say to you, when we're done. But I want to tell you something. In that experience, I can tell you many things, but in that experience, there's so much love, so much power, so much light mixed with God that Satan's got nothing on him. Nothing on him. I tell you, I understand why God himself will not come back to fight the fight. He's not going to come. Read the book. He's not going to come. The Bible says he just comes back and by the sword of his mouth, he destroys the enemy by the word of his mouth. Amen. Anyway, I just threw that in for you, that you can pray for me too. Hallelujah. Quickly throw up for me 1 Kings 19 verses 9. I want to close with this. 1 Kings 19 verses 9. Elijah goes through a period in his life. Goes through a period in his life. That he's just killed the Baal prophets. In other words, he's just had ultimate victory. But he goes to a very low place after that. And he finds himself in a cave, all alone. And 1 Kings 19:9 says this. God comes to Elijah and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And what's interesting for me is that God is still saying the same thing. He's still asking believers, what are you doing in debt? What are you doing in sickness? What are you doing in poverty? Not to put a blame on us, but to tell us we are better than that. You see, I've got 3 children. I understand this. I want the very best for my children. Not because they're good. Because sometimes God knows. But I want the best for them because they're mine. They're mine. God wants the best for you. Not because you're good. Because you're His. And I don't know about you, but I want to be like blind Bartimaeus. I want to throw off the blanket and I want to run to Jesus. I want to be like Mary and break my oil and say, there must be more than this. I want to be like Lazarus that comes out of the tomb and say, where you at, Jesus? Come on. Oh, oh, the fire of God is coming upon me. Okay. Quickly, 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 quickly. I need to lay hands. Revelations chapter 1. I'm telling you the scripture now. Revelations chapter number 1. I just want to seal this of Revelations chapter number 1. It says this. And I turned to see the voice. Sorry, you guys most likely want the scripture. I just quoted it. Revelations 1. Where are you now? Jesus, where are you? Oh, verse 12. There, Revelations 1:12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And verse 13, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band, or girded around the paps with a golden band. I just want you to note something. Verse number 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. One like unto the Son of Man. John was in his darkest hour. In actual fact, the whole New Testament church were in their darkest hour. And when John was cast into the Isle of Patmos, which is the worst place that you could be, suddenly, the Son of Man shows up. And the Bible says, I turn to hear the voice. The word turn there is the Greek word kinomai, which means I could have never expected, I could have never thought that at this desolate, dead place, the Son of Man would appear. But then there's something more. And you'll only catch this if you're a friend of Jesus, which you must be, which I believe you are. It's the Bible says there's a friendship dynamic that makes John turn quickly. It's actually the word to jump around. Because the last time John heard that voice was 65 years prior. We heard the physical voice of Jesus. He calls himself, John calls himself the beloved disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loves. Songs of Solomon 7 verses 10 says, I am his beloved and his desire is for me. John hears the sound of his master. And as he turns, think about seeing a loved one. Think about seeing your wife after many, many years. Think about, he turns and he sees one like the Son of Man. In other words, it's the voice of Jesus, but it doesn't look like Jesus, because the last time he saw him, he came down a cross and he was resurrected just after that, and he appeared to them and the 500. But now he sees a glorified Jesus. One with eyes like fire. One with the priestly garment down to the feet. One with the golden band speaking about absolute authority and power. One that holds the seven stars of the seven churches in his hand. And John falls at his feet dead. It's interesting, and I'll close with this, that when Mary went to look for Jesus, it was no mistake that she didn't find Jesus. Jesus found her. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she said, Rabboni, teacher, ECC, God Himself is calling your name. And He Himself is saying, come to Me. Because when the Master calls, all things respond. Even the dead things respond. They have to. Because nothing is dead where God is. Let me say it like this. God does not inhale. He just exhales. Why? Because if He inhales, that means there's a higher power than Him. Come on. I tell you, to impress you guys is impossible. I'm teasing. Come on, give Jesus a shout of praise. You know why I'm smiling? Because the Bible says that the disciples came back to Jesus with joy. When? When did they get joy? When they casted out the works of darkness. So I'm smiling because I can hear the enemy. He's getting afraid. Why? Because there's someone again on the planet that has put their voices with God that says, all things are possible. All things are possible. We are not slaves. We are not hirelings. We are sons and daughters of God Himself. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are priests and kings unto our God. We are millionaires and billionaires. I tell you, don't be offended when I say that. I'd rather be rich than poor. Because you can help more, amen? Church, you have to be ready tonight. I'm going to lay hands now. I'm going to call you out. You have to make up your mind to say, I'm going to cast off. I'm going to cast off the blanket. I'm going to cast off the restraint. Let me say this. Holy Spirit just wants me to throw one more at you. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that Jesus left the crowd in the book of Mark, chapter number 5, and He goes for one man, the man of Gadara, filled of demons. The Bible says He's filled of a legion of demons. I think if I remember correctly, that's like something like 6,000 plus demons in Him. Listen to me. Demons can't worship. They can acknowledge, but they can't worship. So who was doing the worshiping? The man was. Why would Jesus leave a crowd to go for one? Simple. He found something in the one that He didn't find in the crowd. What was that? My Father came for worshipers who worships Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus will leave the crowd to come for the one that will worship Him, that will praise Him, that will give Him honor. Come on, ECC, you can do better than that.